Hey, Gab, where did all the poets go?
To the lakes. To die.
Hello, welcome to Tay to Z, where we chat about every Taylor Swift song in alphabetical order. I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab, and we will be your hosts on this journey. In our last episode, we talked about The Joker and the Queen from Ed Sheeran's album Equals.
Yes, Devin and Gab from
2022.
Like a year ago. 2 years ago. We went back in time.
Yeah.
And today, we're back with The Lakes from Folklore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you all heard our little stinger at the beginning, but we've been getting some comments asking us to bring them back. So we're going to try and bring them back.
Yeah, if it makes sense,
we'll
bring
them
back. If we're completely drawing a blank,
we won't do it.
Yeah.
But I felt like this was a pretty decent one.
We're glad some people asked for them back because we always had fun with
them. Like, yeah, people are just like, well, bring them back. They were so funny. And we're like, oh, that was kind of okay. Okay, great. We'll do it. We'll try it. The Lakes is the 17th track on Folklore. It is technically the bonus track.
Mm-hmm. Folklore was released on July 24th, 2020, and this song was co-written by our guy, Jack Antonoff.
Our guy. Taylor has played this song live just once at the Soldier Field in Chicago on her Eras tour on June 2nd, 2023. And she also played it during the Long Pond studio session.
Mm-hmm.
That version is so good. And Jack is just there doing all of the guitar licks. And then it cuts to like Aaron once playing guitar. And then it's mostly just Jack and Taylor the whole time. It's so good.
I love those. The Long Pond studio session. It's so good.
I still pour one out for Evermore at Buckingham Palace.
What a ridiculous theory.
Pour one out.
Oh, whoever came up with that one, that's hysterical.
so funny.
So Devin, what do you think about The Lakes?
So, okay, I haven't really given this song too many listens, and the reason is because I only realized today that I did not have it downloaded into my master Taylor Swift playlist.
Oh no.
I had the original Folklore without the bonus track.
Oh,
so it never even had the chance to come on shuffle.
Wow, that's a rookie mistake.
So rookie. I'm like, wow, you know, I haven't heard this song in a while. I don't listen
since
to this
2020.
Honestly, yeah. So that to say, I really do like it. I have slept on it because I unknowingly didn't have it in my playlist. There are some really beautiful instrumental moments. I love all of the guitar work here.
Yeah.
It is so beautiful. I love hearing the sliding of the guitar on those strings. It really brings out the folk in Folklore here. I think that it is really a quintessential folk song here. It's really, really beautiful. The beginning, I think, is really cool because it sounds like it's coming out of an old-time phonograph.
Oh, yeah.
From the 1920s.
Yeah, it really does.
You know, like what you might hear like a Charlie Chaplin sort of thing on or whatever. It's really cool, and then it kind of feels like it transitions into present day.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's really, I thought, really neat. Again, giving that really Folklore kind of feel to it, and a really neat way to do that, and I really want to know how Jack did that. Like, if he just had, like, okay, here's the setting for 1920s phonograph. Mm-hmm. And then
knowing
he played,
Jack,
like, a couple of things.
Had, like,
something like that. Yeah, where he played through.
Or a phonograph on or something.
Something.
Or,
I don't know. I do really like the lyrics a lot. Most of them.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like her additions of cell phones, tweets, and the line, name-dropping sleaze.
Mm-hmm.
I think it totally takes us out of the whimsy and wonder of the song.
Mm-hmm.
It just brings us right into like this kind of present day sort of situation, whereas the rest of the song is totally timeless.
Yeah.
I feel like she didn't need to add that. I feel like she could have done something lyrically that really made sense with the rest of the song.
Yeah.
I mean, it's this like wonderful Cinderella-y, like Sleeping Beauty rushing off to like this the Windermere Peaks and you're in nature and wisteria growing and all of this. It's all of these really incredibly timeless images. And then you get like no one to tweet about it. Yeah. And no one taking out their cell phones and name dropping sleazes. And it's also really interesting because, you know, in her Long Pond session, when she sings that line, name dropping sleaze, she looks directly at the camera.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know who you are, you name dropping sleaze. Yeah. You know, but it totally takes away from, I think, the rest of the song and its storytelling.
I agree.
And then when she comes back in with that bridge of, I want auroras and sad prose, I'm going to watch wisteria grow right over my bare feet because I haven't moved in years, is honestly one of the most beautiful moments on this album. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's so beautiful and so timeless and so fantastical and folklory that it really, I think, is one of the apex moments of the whole like folklore era here. Mm-hmm. It like, especially like the song is just so beautiful that it really is unfortunate that those lines take me out.
And I
understand if people love them and they're like, oh my god, yeah, name dropping sleaze, like you better call them out, Taylor. But for me, when it's a song that seems like it should be set in a very natural and fantastical setting, it just doesn't really make sense to me. I love too that final build in the last chorus up to no without you. And the production behind it, it builds like up the scale. It goes, it does chords right up the scale, but it also builds in volume as well. And then it just like kind of like it, you know, explodes into this beautiful moment in this outro. The no, not without you. And then it quiets itself back down again right after. It's so beautiful. It's so, so good. I think that this song could easily be arranged into a musical theater song and would be an easy addition to a Taylor Swift musical. I think that it is undoubtedly going to happen at some point. Like, she's going to write a musical at some point. Like, that's one of the last things she has to do.
Yeah, she'll be inspired at some point.
And then, of course, that outro is just so beautiful. You get more of the guitar strumming. Mm-hmm. You get some really beautiful instrumental moments in it. I think it's a stunning song with, unfortunately, a couple of hiccups.
Yeah.
Gab, what do you think of The Lakes?
I almost completely agree, which is very cool.
Well,
I love the guitar and the instrumental intro of this song throughout. I think, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but I always find this song to be a little bit on the dramatic side, though I kind of think Taylor may have intended that, especially saying, like, take me to the lakes where all the poets went to die.
Yeah.
I think that, like, she meant to make it dramatic or, like, a little melodramatic, but it always gives me a little bit of that vibe. Like, whenever I sing it, I'm like, I don't belong. Like, I always, like, it just feels like, I don't know, just a touch melodramatic to me, and maybe that's on purpose.
Yeah, definitely.
But I do really love all the poetic language throughout the song, and especially that opening lyric, is it romantic how all my elegies eulogize me, which I break down in Gossip Gab.
Ooh.
I also really, really don't love those social media critiques in the song. I feel like they really break up the poetic nature of the song and in a very awkward way. The hunters with cell phones and the red rose with no one to tweet it, like, they always just sit kind of weird with me amidst the rest of the song. Like, they don't fit. I usually like when Taylor's critical of being in the public eye and social media in her music in general, but I don't think it works in this song with this beautiful production and all this poetic language. It just feels out of place.
Definitely.
I really like the second verse, especially all the production around it. Like, there's all this, like, I guess it's plucking, strumming, and then, like, the way that the chorus then builds into that bridge is so, so pretty. It kind of, like, breaks off into it. I really love the bridge, minus the tweet line, especially the use of, like, auroras and sad prose. Like, what fantastic, beautiful lyrics, as well as calamitous love and insurmountable grief. Like, just great poetry, and it's just Taylor, you know, really flexing her writing muscles. Like, this song is very poetic, and I do think that I would like it a lot more if not for those moments that really take me out of it. The name dropping sleaze doesn't affect me the same way it affects you. Kind of, like, flows in, I think, maybe because it, like, a sleaze could be at any time.
That's fair. But, that's definitely fair. Yeah.
But, like, yeah, the tweets and cell phones, like, just, like, feels so not. We're talking about auroras and sad prose here, you know?
Yeah. And wisteria.
Yeah.
And Windermere Peaks and elegies.
And then, like, now, like, when I hear those lyrics, like, it just kind of makes me laugh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Hunters with cell phones, you know? Yeah, like, it's
just, yeah. And she takes herself so seriously when she's singing it on the Long Pond Studio.
Yeah.
You know? It's just like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's absolutely another way she could have said it.
Yeah, especially because there's so much about this song that's just, like, so beautiful. Yeah.
It's harsh. It's, like, a harsh shift into, like, modern day.
Yeah, and I understand what she's saying and that it's a critique, but, like, I feel like you can sing about the nature part of it and then it's an inherent critique without having to outright say the critique. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, a red rose grew up with no one to tweet it. Like, okay, like, if no one tweets it, does it happen? Like, if no one documents it, is nature there? Is it beautiful? No one documents it. The answer is yes. But she doesn't have to say it quite like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, she may be comparing the olden days with the poets to today with the tweets and, like, you know, if,
And that's why she wants to escape now.
Right. You know? If, like, a poet were around today, like, say, Edgar Allan Poe or whatever, you know, and people would tweet about him. And
these poets are way older than Poe, even.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't think it fits. It obviously fit for her.
Yeah.
She put them in for a reason, it's her lyrics,
yes.
but that's a subjective nature, too, of her songs. When she puts them out, you know, she has her reason for writing it, but then we have our way we listen to it.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Devin, do you relate to this song?
Those Windermere peaks look like the perfect place to cry. So relatable. Not Windermere peaks, because I've never been, but seeing a spot in nature that just looks like the fantastic place to sit down and cry, it's so real. I have had moments like that, and one of those spots for me is at this place in Vermont called Equinox Pond.
Hmm.
And it's a really beautiful place and a place that brings me a lot of joy. And we've spent a lot of time there, and there have been a lot of really important moments that have happened there. But it's also, like, when I go there by myself, it is such a great place to just sit and look at the mountains and be in nature, and I honestly cry.
Yeah.
You know, it is a beautiful, beautiful place, and it brings out so much emotion. So I think that that's a very relatable thing when you look at a place and say, like, oh, wow, that looks like a fantastic place to cry. I feel like I could have a really good cry there, you know? What about you, Gav? Do you relate?
I relate to the lyric. I want to watch wisteria grow right over my bare feet because I haven't moved in years and I want you right here.
Mm.
When this song came out, we were still in COVID lockdown and we truly hadn't moved in years. And all we wanted to do was be in nature and be with our people. And that lyric always makes me think of that and that time.
Yeah. And, like, everyone eventually going out to the park with, like, you know, Bevin and...
Yeah, and, like, sitting, you know, our 6 feet apart at the park on our blankets.
Yep.
And also, like, as it started to become nicer weather, being like, okay, we can we take people, our masks we can be off? Outside. Yeah.
What a wild time.
Yeah, when places started doing drinks to go, all of that stuff, yeah.
Well, now we get to the segment of... Gossip Girl.
In this song, Taylor sings about the Lake District of northwestern England, where she traveled with her boyfriend at the time, Joe Alwyn.
Mm-hmm.
The English poet William Wordsworth, who Taylor name-checks in the song with double meaning, was born in 1770 in Cumberland, England, which is part of the region in northwestern England known as the Lake District.
Hmm.
By the turn of the 19th century, Wordsworth was living in Dove Cottage on the edge of the village of Grasmere in the center of the Lake District. His fellow romantic poets Samuel Taylor Coleridge and Robert Southey were frequent visitors to his home.
Hmm.
Windermere is the largest natural lake in England.
Interesting.
In this song, Taylor is singing about a few things. First, the sale of her masters and how that is still hurting her.
Mm-hmm.
An elegy is a poem of serious reflection, typically a lament for the dead. And a eulogy is a speech or piece of writing that praises someone or something highly, typically someone who has just died.
Mm-hmm.
Here, Taylor is mourning the death of her masters, aka her elegies, and these very elegies, her songs, are what eulogize her.
Yeah.
Her life's work is how she will be remembered, and here she's mourning the death of her original albums in a poetic double meaning.
Mm.
She also explores the sale of her masters in the second verse. What should be over, burrowed under my skin in heart-stopping waves of hurt. I've come too far to watch some name-dropping sleaze tell me what are my words worth.
Mm.
By buying her masters and being in control of licensing songs out for movies, commercials, etc., Scooter Braun quite literally was the name-dropping sleaze, dictating what her words were worth by setting prices for the licensing of her original songs. Here, Taylor uses Wordsworth's name to let us know, yes, she's talking about the English Lake District, but also she quite literally means what her words are worth, aka her lyrics and songs.
Yeah.
She's letting us know that she's still hurting from the sale of her masters, which makes sense because this song came out before she was able to begin her re-recording project and know what a success it would be.
Hmm.
Which is hard to kind of remember in hindsight now, knowing what a success would be.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm sure, you know, it still hurts her even though it has been such a success.
Yeah.
But this was even before that. And when you think about this trip, it was sometime, you know, 2019, 2020.
Right.
You know, so she was really going through it at that time. The next part of this song is about not feeling like she quite fits into society and wanting to just disappear to the lakes and escape it all the way the romantic poets of the 19th century did.
Hmm.
However, she wants her muse, aka Joe Alwyn at the time, to run away and escape with her.
Mm-hmm.
A muse is a source of inspiration, often for artists and often of the romantic persuasion, but not exclusively. In this song, she is critical of social media and people taking photos on their phones, referring to them as hunters in a very similar way to I Know Places.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost all too much for her that she just wants to escape away to nature with her love. It's all very folklore and very her and Joe.
Yeah.
Because they did escape a lot.
A lot.
And they were not seen on photos or, you know, candid photos almost
a lot.
Yeah. So it's very,
very opposite of Travis Kelce.
And Taylor, yeah. Now, Taylor explained in the Long Pond studio sessions how her trip to the Lake District helped crystallize a dream about leaving her life behind to live in a cottage. She said, in the 19th century, you had a lot of poets like William Wordsworth and John Keats who would spend a lot of time there. There was a poet district, these artists that moved there. They were kind of heckled for it and made fun of for it as being eccentrics. I remember when we went, I thought, man, I could see this. You live in a cottage, you've got wisteria growing up the side of it. Hmm. Of course they would escape like that.
Yeah.
And this is also, like, an idea that, you know, Taylor's explored in other songs, like The Lucky One, you know, Bought Some Land Somewhere, Rose Garden over Madison Square, like, you know, escaping. So it's ideas that she's kind of thought about in regards to fame throughout her career. And it was also very, very prevalent with Joe.
Yeah.
Clearly, he liked a very private life.
Definitely.
And there are clearly parts of her that like
that.
Some of that, but then there are also clearly parts of her that also love the public eye.
Yeah, for
sure.
So
it's interesting seeing those different sides of her.
Yeah.
Jack Antonoff originally conceived this song as a big orchestral number. Taylor wasn't having it and asked him to make it much smaller. He admitted to Billboard, "I had gotten lost in the string arrangements and all this stuff." After he took everything out and played back the new bare bones version, he thought to himself, this is so perfect. Taylor shared that original orchestral arrangement of the Lakes on July 24th, 2021 to celebrate the 1 year anniversary of Folklore. And I gotta say, Taylor was right about the making it more bare bones.
Definitely.
I think that the one with all the strings in it is a little too much.
Yeah.
Like, if you had told me originally, I've probably been like, yeah, orchestral version for sure. But I think it overpowers the song.
Definitely.
And the purpose of the song. And actually, the less is more approach to the production makes the production shine.
Absolutely.
More.
100%.
Yeah.
It's
fascinating.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Taylor
also references her Lake District vacation on another folklore track, Invisible String, in the lyrics, "Bold was the waitress on our 3 year trip getting lunch down by the lakes."
I can absolutely see her just, like, in a couple of years being like, okay, I'm done. And then going off to, a cottage by the lakes somewhere. And just, like, living out the rest of her life as, like, a cat lady.
There is a part of her that just loves this cottage core idea, you know? But it might just be phases throughout her life where she's, you know, super public eye disappears. Super public eye disappears, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm all for her doing that as long as, like, it's always her choice. And there's no one that's, like, you know, dimming her light.
How cool would that be? How cool would that be if she did, like, her next tour or a concert or whatever would be like Folklore and Evermore with like the Boston Pops or like the New York Philharmonic.
Whoa, that'd be really
like
cool.
New York and like because Ben Folds did that with the Australian Sydney Philharmonic. Then all of his songs like Zach and Sarah and stuff were really? All like these giant orchestral numbers.
That's cool.
Really cool. And then also the 1975 did a whole thing, a night with an orchestra.
That's cool.
At Royal Albert Hall.
That would be really
neat. I think that could be really neat for her to do Folklore and Evermore like that.
I mean, that probably ship has sailed because those albums now have been toured, but like we don't know what the Tortured Poets Department's going to sound. Well, I know, but we don't know what Tortured Poets Department's going to sound
like. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
You know, so that'll be interesting to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exciting stuff. Devin, what's your favorite lyric of the Lakes?
What's yours, Gab?
Well, I actually mentioned it earlier. I want to watch Wisteria grow right over my bare feet because I haven't moved in years.
It's the best. I think it's the best line in the whole song.
It's really good. It's beautiful.
When she pops up there, because I haven't moved in years.
Yeah, the production of it is really good, too.
That in the slowdown and just the shift. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. I also love Aurora's and Sad Prose.
Yeah.
Like a lot.
Mm.
So pretty.
It's a beautiful
song. I also want Aurora's and Sad Prose.
Yeah.
That's a goal one day to see an Aurora Borealis.
Yeah.
Yeah. In that same vein, Devin, from 1 to 10 Aurora's and Sad Prose, what do you give the Lakes?
Ooh, that's a very good question. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to give the Lakes 8 Aurora's and Sad Prose, I think. I like most of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a gorgeous song. I think, hot take, that it is the actual ending of Folklore. I think that Hoax leaves you kind of on a, like a...
cliffhanger.
Thank you. Cliffhanger.
Stood
on the cliffside. Thank you. So she probably did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Lakes is just like this perfect finish to the song, to the album.
Yeah, I agree.
And again, just take out or swap out those, you know, cell phone and tweeting lines and you got me. I think that this could easily be a 9.
Yeah.
For me, if those weren't there.
Mm.
I think it's beautiful. I think the arrangement's beautiful. I think that the production is stunning. Jack did a really nice job. And after remembering that he did that huge orchestral version, this is just perfect.
Yeah.
So, Gab, what about you? From 1 to 10 Aurora's and Sad Prose.
So we're breaking our aligned streak.
Here we are.
I gotta give this song, sorry to the stands, 6 Aurora's and Sad Prose.
Fair enough.
It's just not my favorite. I like a lot of it. I like a lot of the lyrics. I like a lot of the production. It's just like something about the overall vibe is just not for me.
Yeah.
Something about the melodramaticness of it,
mm.
I think. And I like dramatic song. I don't know. Something about the tone just is off with me.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Listen along with us. You can check us out on Instagram at TayToZPodcast and give us all your thoughts.
All of them.
Do you like those modern lyrics and why? Mm. We'd love to hear a take of someone who really likes those and understands it more. Is there a word in this song we didn't define that you'd like us to?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if I need to define every word, so I didn't. But like, we can if you'd like us to. Totally down to do that.
Were you at the Soldier Field performance when she did this as one of her surprise songs?
Ooh, that'd be cool. I bet we have listeners who were there.
Totally.
Yeah, for sure. Let us hear all your thoughts.
Yes, and thank you as always to all of our listeners. Y'all are the absolute best. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, next episode, ooh, another Folklore song.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be covering The Last Great American Dynasty.
Come hang with us.
I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab.
This has been Tay to Z.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.